Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
So before I read that first verse in Numbers, I want to set it up here. The background of this is that the people of Israel have been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. That's a long, long time for a people and a history to be one of slavery. God sent Moses with a message to tell the people that he had future plans for them. That there's something that he has in mind for them that's better than slavery, better than poverty, something better, a place of promise, a land of possibility, a place where they could pioneer, a place where they could be landowners, a place where they could build their own houses, dream their own dreams. Anybody ever felt like the current conditions were not your permanent conditions? Have you ever, maybe you feel that way like today even, like where you are right now, like this is not where you're going to stay. That God has something better. That God has something beyond where you are right now. So I want to, my message this weekend, I want to talk to you about fighting for your future. Fighting for your future. And I'm calling the message Grapes, Giants, and Grasshoppers. And if you're like, I have no idea how that goes together or what that means, like, you will before we're finished today, all right? Numbers chapter 13, here we are, Numbers 13, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Send some men to explore the land that I am giving to you. So a few verses later, Moses gathers leaders of the tribes, and that's what he begins to do. He tells them, guys, I want you to go and explore the land that God is promised us. And I want you to bring back a report for me about the people who live there. And bring back a report about the cities. Are they walled? Are they fortified? How's the soil? Is it fertile? Good soil? And are there trees in the land? Is it a good place or a bad place? Just go out and have a look at it and bring back some helpful information about where God has in mind for us to go in our future. And then if you can, guys, would you bring back even some fruit of the land? Like I'd love to just see what the land is producing. And so the spies did that. They went out and they returned 40 days later with a report that was something kind of like this. They brought back a cluster of grapes. And the Bible describes the cluster of grapes that they brought back from that land as being so huge and so weighty that they had to carry it on poles between two men or four men and their shoulders underneath it. So I'm sorry I couldn't find a cluster of grapes like that today, but you're gonna have to use your imagination, all right? But they brought it back as an example to their leader. And so the conversation was kind of like this. Boss Moses, first the good news. And that is that we brought back some grapes so that you could see the fruitfulness, how good the land is and the soil and all of the possibilities and all of the potential in the land. It is huge. It is huge. It's amazing. Like the fruit there and the possibilities there would blow your mind. And then boss Moses, I want you to also know that there's some not so good news. And that is that the people who live there, they are powerful, and they may not want us to be in that land. Their cities are large. Their cities are walled. And there's also giants. Somebody shout giants. Giants. Say it again, giants. There's also giants. So there's grapes in the land, but there's also giants in the land. What I'd like to do this weekend is that I want you to look at the report of these spies and the report that they gave Moses as a parallel and analogy of your future. The good news is that God has grapes and more grapes than you can imagine planned for your life. I said God has grapes and more grapes. God has grapes. Nice catch. And more grapes. Grapes. Somebody shout grapes. Somebody shout grapes. Somebody shout more grapes. Planned for my life. You say, how do you know that, Pastor Kevin? Well, let's just start with one verse that is possibly very familiar to you, maybe not. So if not, you're gonna wanna lock this one down and put it in your memory. It goes like this, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So God has plans. God has good plans. Somebody shout good things. God has opportunities that He is preparing for you. You got to watch for them. You got to keep your eyes open. Things you don't know about are in the works, like right now. God has doors He plans to open up for you. When, where, how? Around a bend, over a mountain, just right after you get through the valley. Like He has plans for you to meet the right people. He has plans for you to be in the right place at the right time. Come on, I said God has plans. God has good plans. As you walk the path that God has for your life, He has plans and He has promises. This is why you want to be on the path, because the plan is on the path. I said the plan is on the path. The plan is not on every path, but when you get on the path, He has a plan. Psalm 25:4 says, show me the path to follow. Why does the psalmist say that? Because he wants to be on the right path. Not on just any path. He wants to be on the right path. He said, point out the road for me. Because the plan is on the path. You want to say that with me? The plan is on the path. Somebody told me there's a popular song out right now. God has a plan. God has a plan. And the plan is not just on any path, but the plan is on the path. Now the not so good news. There's giants in the land of the grapes. And if you want the grapes, you have to face some giants. This is where everyone has to make a decision. You got a decision to make for yourself, whether you're 16, 18, 14, 24, 33, 48, 59, 67, 76, 82, 89, 91, 99. Everybody, I said everybody, has a decision to make. And that decision is, am I going to sit back and let life happen to me, or am I going to fight for the future that God has for me? Let me read you a little more. Let's continue on with our story here. Verse 26. It says that they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community in the desert, and they reported to them and showed them the fruit of the land, and they gave Moses the account. They said, we went into the land to which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey, and here's the fruit. But the people who live there, they are powerful, cities are very large, and the giants are in the land. And I want you to look at verse 30. Caleb stood up and silenced the people. In other words, a lot of them are getting all caught up in the giants and the opposition. And he says, we should go up and we should take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. In other words, Caleb was saying, our future is worth fighting for. I know what you're saying, and I know it's true, but our future is a future worth fighting for. Verse 31, but there was the other side and the other voice, and the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. Come on, Caleb, you lost your mind. They're stronger than we are. And they started to spread that report among the Israelites about the land they saw and the giants that were there. And they said that land devours everybody in it, and we can't do it. And then verse 33 is a really, really sad verse, because here's what they said as they were caught up in their negativity. They said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. We seem like so small. It seems so insignificant. It seems there's no possibility. There is no way. There is no hope. We are no match for the challenge. We are no match for the giants. Like, did you not hear us? There's opposition. There's resistance. There's adversity. We are no match for the giants. Now, here's what I want to say to you this weekend. One of the big mistakes that people make is to assume that if God wants me to have something, I won't have to fight for it. Are you hearing me? Like, in fact, there's a lot of Christians and believers in Christ who somehow fall into this theology. They make a theology out of it, and they argue for it. And it's amazing whenever you're encouraging the church forward, whenever you're encouraging people, like, come on, let's rise up, let's do this together, let's make big commitments, bold commitments, let's be a big thinking people, a big thinking church. Imagine how many people, well, I think just if God wants it to have it, God will give it to us. Somebody's forgetting about Jesus, who was on his way to, on his assignment to be the salvation for mankind. Somebody's forgetting that it didn't come without a battle. Somebody's forgetting a garden where the Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Somebody's forgetting about a lonely road that Jesus walked. that it wasn't just handed over to him. He had to fight every step. He had to fight for it. He didn't fight physically, but he fought emotionally. He pressed his way forward. He continued without allowing himself to give in and to give up and to look back. He continued with every step to stay on the path of his assignment and what God had prepared for him to achieve and accomplish. And I want to just help some of you today who maybe fall prey to that ideology sometime that says, you know, if God wants me to have it, you know, whatever happens is the will of God, Pastor Kevin, and the will of God is whatever happened. No, it's not. There's a lot of stuff going on right now in our city, in our nation, that is not the will of God. There's stuff going on in your life. There's stuff going on in your family. There's stuff going on in your neighborhood. It's not what God wants. There's something better that God has for you. Something better God has for humanity. And we gotta pull the plug on that ideology and that theology and that philosophy that just says whatever, you know, whatever happens is the will of God. The will of God is whatever happens. And we gotta take a stand. And we gotta realize that we are here to walk out the will of God. We are here to fight for the will of God. And that thought causes a lot of people to literally to lay down weapons and to lay down their intensity and to set aside that tenacious kind of attitude and that scrappy sort of spirit that they need to have. And it just causes a lot of people to not be daring and a lot of people to not be willing to step out and to be bold and to take a risk. And then they miss out. They miss out on what God has on the path. Sit down by the path rather than continuing on the path. Is anybody hearing me today? Like they encounter a problem and the next thing you know they're bitter and they're off the path. Because on the path you don't stay bitter. You get bitter, you don't stay bitter. There's unforgiveness in their heart. They're off the path. On the path you can have that day where you fight for it. You feel this attitude against somebody who hurt you, but on the path, you got to get rid of that. If you're going to stay on the path, you can't go forward with that unforgiveness in your heart. I'm talking about the path. And the plan is on the path. The plan is on the path. The plan is on the path. But you got to fight. There's giants. So just because God has plans and places and grapes doesn't mean that you don't have to fight for them. There's a story in the Old Testament, and it was 400 BC, actually, when this was happening, but the city of Jerusalem had been overwhelmed by their enemies, and their enemies had basically humiliated them to the point where they tore down the city, they burned the houses, they tore down the walls, they stole everything they wanted to steal, and so the people left there now are defenseless, demoralized, extremely poor. And a son of the city, whose name was Nehemiah, was off in another land, and he had been taken away by his enemies into slavery. But even in a place of slavery, God still had a plan for his life. And so God gave him favor. It's kind of like the story of Joseph. If you're familiar with the story of Joseph in the Bible, it's kind of like that story, because even in a tough place, God started to give him favor with the people around him, got promoted, favor with the people around him, got promoted. And pretty soon he ends up in the king's palace, first name basis with the king. He's the king's cupbearer. So he has the king's ear. And he hears about his homeland, Jerusalem, and he's moved, and he's heartbroken. And so as he begins to pray, God kind of downloaded a plan into his heart and said to him, I want you to rise up. I want you to go. I'm going to go with you. And he goes before the king and he asks permission to go to his homeland to rebuild the city that he loved. And sure enough, the king said, absolutely. And you need some money, I'll help you. I'll support you. Let's go. And Favor was on him, and he went to that city, he went to that homeland, and he gathered the people together, and he started to encourage them and to say, we don't have to stay here. We don't have to, this doesn't have to, our past doesn't have to be our future. Like, I know you feel weak, and I know you feel like you can't make it, but God's got a plan. God's got something better. Let's rise up, and let's fight for our future. And I want you to look at what he says in Nehemiah 4 and verse 14. As the enemies came to humiliate him, the people from other towns came and laughed at him and said, there's no way, it's never going to happen. And finally, he's kind of fired up, and he gathers the people together, and he says, after I look things over, I stood up, I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their report. Don't be afraid of what the critics are saying. But rather remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And look what he says, and fight for your families. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives and your homes. Can I just remind some of you today that when you engage in battle for the things that God's put in your heart, when you engage in battle, even in a simple way, you're not just fighting for you. You're fighting for your marriage. When you fight to be right in you, it's a fight that spills over into the health of your relationships. And you're fighting for your children. When you fight, you're fighting for your children's children. It's not just about you. I said it's not just about you. That's why no matter how old you are, maybe earlier when I said I named ages that are way up there, I want to remind some of you who might be tempted to feel like that your days of influence are over, you lived your life, now you know this message is for just the young people. I want to say no. Like if you're here, that means God's not finished with you yet. And no matter what your age is, and no matter what you're facing, I hope, you know, having a big vision and thinking big doesn't just mean thinking big about a circumstance. It means thinking long term. It means like when I, one of the things, I got it finally. Maybe I was a little slow to get it, but a few years ago, I started realizing what I'm sharing with you right now. And I started looking into the face of younger people. And in my heart, something would say, the fight's for you. The fight's for you. The fight's for you. The fight's for, not just for me, it's for you. And this fight is for the next generation. And every day I show up, and every day I commit myself to walk the path, is another day where I'm fighting not just for me, but I'm fighting for my children. I got two grandsons right now. One of them's 2 years old, one of them's 8 years old, and I made up my mind that I'm not gonna go sit in the bleachers, and I'm not gonna go and check out and get an RV and ride around the nation and look at all the waterfalls. I'm just not gonna do that. I'm gonna stay in the fight because my children need me and my grandchildren need me. Come on, wow. Some of you young couples right now, you're going through challenges in your life, and every time you reconcile, just remember it's not just about you. Every time you say, I'm sorry, it's not just about you. Every time you look that giant in the face that comes to cause you to entertain the ideas of checking out of your marriage or your relationship, I hope you'll remember what I'm telling you today, that it's not just about you. Well, I deserve better. It's not just about you. Well, I shouldn't have to live. It's not just about you. When you fight the fight, when you stay on the path, when you give up your pride, when you pray the right kind of prayer, when you repent of the sin that you committed, and we all commit. You're doing something on behalf. Oh man, I'm so fired up today. I'm like, you're doing something. Come on behalf. Of generations yet to come. And that day, by the way, they did fight. And the Bible tells us that the people in the city of Jerusalem alongside Nehemiah, some of them had a tool in one hand building with it, and they had a weapon in the other hand ready to fight with it. Build, and if you come to stop me, fight. Build, I'm not gonna stop building. Try to stop me, I'll take you on right now. We are on a path, and God's got a plan. Am I encouraging anybody today? Come on, am I encouraging anybody? This weekend we're making my book, which has been out a long time, Forces That Form Your Future. We're making it available. I called from out of town this week, and I told them I'm preaching on the future, and please get these books out and get them in the lobbies at our locations, and let's make them available, lower prices than ever, and let's do it in a way that people can buy more than one. And the reason I'm doing this, I don't think I've talked about one of my books from stage since the release of my last book, probably a couple years ago, when I shared it with everyone. But so I don't normally do that. I'm not about selling books to me. It's about helping you to be on the path and to stay on the path. And in the book, we identify 9 different forces at work in your life right now, areas where you're making decisions on right now, to help you to recognize that the more proactive you are, the more decisive you are in these 9 areas of your life, the greater the blessings of God are on your future. One of the things I'm looking at right now on the back of the book that is it's like a fortune cookie, and it says a little something. It says, your future doesn't happen to you, it happens through you. That's good. That's good. And there's a whole lot of other good stuff in here. And the 9 forces are the things that people, you know, because we talk about this and some people are waiting for something really big and huge. But if you get up every day to fight, you realize that I got to fight in my decision making having to do with relationships. Having to do with, am I going to be offended or not? I have a right to be offended. But am I going to drink the poison and allow myself to be offended? Like, it's waking up and saying, am I going to continue with the habits I have now, or am I going to begin to form new and better habits? It's like getting right down into where we all live, because that's where the fight is. So when it comes to your future, don't count yourself out or think yourself small. Don't count yourself out of what God's included you in. You qualify. I said you qualify. Pastor Kevin, you don't know what I've done or where I've been or how I've messed up. You qualify. Yeah, but I got off the path and I've been off the path. Yeah, but God is big enough, he has alternate routes. And if he was finished with you, you wouldn't be breathing right now. So don't count yourself out. Don't disqualify yourself from what he qualifies you for. And don't think yourself small. If you have that grasshopper thing going on, I hope you leave here today with a different mentality. I hope you'll leave that grasshopper. You know, I told last night, Saturday night service, I said, this weekend I brought grapes. Next weekend I'm bringing grasshoppers. Not true. Go ahead and come to church. I promise I'm not bringing wrath up. But I hope that you use this verse in the Bible and you say, no, I've been guilty of that. I'm not gonna think that way. Because that's what the enemy wants from all of us. He wants all of us, and including me. He wants us to like look at the size of the opportunity and the vision and the possibility in front of us, and then to go, but yeah, but I'm not up for that. I'm not capable of that. I'm not, it's just me. Like, it's just me. And I'm appealing to you this weekend. Like, don't think yourself small. You never know what God can do. Like, in this conversation that I'm, this text, you know what happened over the next few years? Everyone who had the grasshopper mentality stayed right where they were. They wandered around in the wilderness. And two guys named Joshua and Caleb, who said, we're not going to think that way. We can certainly do this. Those two guys lived to see the day where they walked in to that land full of grapes. And they walked on the soil where they could build the homes, where they could plant the crop, where they could see the next generation blessed and free and prospering. But it all started back in the wilderness, where they chose to not have that small thinking mindset. And that I'm praying as I talk to a man and a woman who's in the house and you're here this weekend, that you would make a decision. I will not count myself out of what God has included me in. I will not think myself small, because the Bible tells me that my God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I can ask and all that I can think. And I know there's going to be a battle, and I know I have to fight, but I'm going to go for the grapes. 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 Let me tell you guys. Let me tell you this. The grapes are reachable, the giants are defeatable, and you're no grasshopper. Somebody ought to clap your hands about that right now. You ought to write that down. Like, you maybe tweet that one. Facebook that baby right there. The grapes are reachable. Got a little attitude. Tell me I can't. With God's help, I can. The giants are talking big and they're roaring loud, but the giants are defeatable. The season I'm in right now, it's just a temporary condition. And God's got something better. I know. God has something better. I'm a child of God, and I know who I am. I'm a child of God, and I know who I am. Not a grasshopper. I'm a child of God. The God of the universe lives in me. Come on. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give, or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.